Live from the Go Mile High Studios, this is the best damn sports show, period. With your hosts,
Ian McClintock,
Jason Meekum,
Jack Jones,
Estelle Ambrose,
and Tariq Young.
With the first overall pick in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks select Connor Bedard.
No way!
Wow. I know, such an entertaining and such a mystifying pick at number one.
How does it happen to be like the year there's like the chosen one coming into the NHL and NBA? It's the same year.
Honestly, it's going to be... I don't even know how we lucked out to get it this year. And then not only that, you have the MLB draft coming in a couple weeks on July 9th. So who knows? I don't know if there's any once-in-a-lifetime gems coming up through baseball, but...
Last year seemed like a really good draft with Holiday and Drew Jones at the top, but we'll have to see what goes on. I mean, the MLB draft feels very pointless a lot just because of the work they have to do to get there, but It'll be interesting still, the top couple picks.
Well, not only that, the amount of depth that goes into the MLB draft just seems absolutely excessive compared to your NBA, your NFL. I mean, heck, even the NHL draft that's currently going on right now behind me on the big screen, I think we're finally up to pick number 7 with Philadelphia. They just got some big dude out of Russia there. But
Isn't that every pick in hockey?
I mean, it certainly feels that way unless your last name's Bedard or McDavid.
No, because if you look at Connor Bedard, 5'10", 185 pounds. That's small.
That's like my exact size.
I feel like I can beat him up.
I have the same build, guys.
Jack Jones is no longer Jack Jones of the New England Patriots. Jack Jones is now Connor Bedard of the Chicago Blackhawks.
That makes more sense.
I mean, honestly, probably has a better career trajectory this way.
Probably. I mean, Jack Jones getting himself into some trouble. So, I'm just going to switch lives.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to me, guys. I don't know this Connor Bedard. Is he good? Is he bad?
He is like supposed to be the next generational talent, the next greatest in hockey.
Like the next Connor McDavid.
The next. He's like, you put him on a scale with Wembanyama and they are equal in how hyped people are about these prospects.
Yeah, it really is crazy how hyped Connor Bedard is. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Because I know we were talking with Julio a little bit before we got here started on the Best Damn Sports Show, period. Joined today by Jason and Jack, I'm Ian. But we were talking with Julio earlier, and he was saying he wouldn't be surprised if Connor actually did a little bit of time down in the AHL with Rockford just to season him up a little bit, you know, get him more NHL ready. But, I mean, this feels like one of those players that you put him on the ice instantly, and he's going to be a difference maker no matter what.
I think he's just an instantaneous starter. I mean, with how bad the Blackhawks are and have been for the past couple years, why not just let him start? I mean, guys get injured in hockey, but they're way tougher than any other sport. That's not as much of a worry, I would say, unless you get to a really detrimental point, but... just let him play. I mean, even if they're bad, they were bad last year, but they have Bedard now, so maybe he changes it up.
Yeah. Well, he said in an interview, "I'm not going to compare myself to other guys or anything, but I think for me, my best attribute is probably my hockey IQ." Now, I don't know if you guys watched him. Do you guys agree with this statement or not with him?
I mean, here's the thing. He could say that he's not going to compare himself. That's fine. But the media absolutely is, especially with him going to one of the four largest markets in America. You know, it doesn't matter if he's in hockey or if he was just any kind of athlete. He's going to get the press coverage. I mean, he's going to be on the front of the Chicago Times, Sun tomorrow. And everybody's going to have all these expectations of, okay, bring us back to the promised land, because now we're down Jonathan Toews, we're down Patrick Kane, we need to get back to relevancy here in Chicago. Well,
and it's like, when you watch him play, it's just like seeing like, oh man, we have another guy like Connor McDavid type of numbers coming into the NHL, maybe. Like a guy that could put up 100-plus points every year, get up to those wild marks of 150. He passes well. He scores at a very high level.
Yeah, I'm seeing that right here.
And so it's just going to be interesting to see. I mean, especially with hockey prospects like this, they usually pan out pretty well. I mean, obviously there's these busts in the past, but with a guy like Bedard, I can't see him not being successful.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, just the way that he plays and the way that he takes over the ice. I mean, coming up, everybody compared him to McDavid. And that's huge, especially in today's game, being compared to one of, if not probably the most elite NHL player in the world.
The
right
unanimous
now.
Hart Trophy winner? Oh, wait. It wasn't unanimous.
Yeah, it wasn't unanimous, and I have feelings about that, but I'm going to let those brew for about another 15 minutes before we get into that, because the way that that entire situation broke down, I've got feelings across the board with it. But obviously, draft night for the NHL is tonight. We've seen the Colorado Avalanche. They've made a couple of big moves here within the last couple days. Ryan Johansson is now over here from Nashville to essentially fill in the 2C spot. And now the 3C spot almost feels filled now with the trade made earlier today for the 37th pick. And we go get Ross Colton out of Tampa Bay. And for those that don't know who he is, I would say probably the more infamous moment for Avalanche fans is he is the one that got in the fight with Logan O'Connor at the end of game 3, number 79. But he also does have a cup-winning goal to his credit from a couple of years back, and they're expecting him to fill the 3C spot. But with that, this also really does point more towards the end of potentially JT Compher's time here in Colorado. So, I mean, obviously, we watched Avalanche more than any other team being based out of Denver. What other needs do you guys feel the Avalanche need to take advantage of that they could probably fill tonight here on draft night to get back to where Vegas was last season?
Well, it just because of the season the Avs had last year and the injuries that riddled them doesn't mean that all of a sudden because they got out in the first round to the 7-seed Kraken that they are this whole different team. Sure, the team looks a little different from when they last won the cup, but right now they have the probably one of the top cores they'll ever have in their prime. You have a prime Nathan MacKinnon, a Mikko Rantanen coming into his prime, as we saw he had an explosive breakout season last year, mm-hmm. and Cale Makar taking the league by storm instantaneously when he comes in. You have to build around these guys to keep this championship window open. Right now it is wide open, but if you have to put the right pieces around these guys to make sure that can happen. And since the Stanley Cup, they have lost some of those key pieces that, you know, it's like another Bruce Brown situation in Denver where it's like he can't stay for if he wants more money, he can't stay here, unfortunately. It's mm-hmm. not that we don't want him. We just have needs that we need to fill for other guys, and you're not as important as so-and-so. You're not as important as Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, you know, even Nichushkin.
Yeah, that explains the Newhook situation.
Well,
a couple
going out and getting two guys like Johansson and the guy from Tampa Bay is a great way to fill those roles. I mean, Johansson has gone through a couple different playoff runs with the Predators. They've been pretty good the past couple years. And then you have a guy that's won two Stanley Cups with Tampa Bay, has that experience. The guys on the Avalanche have the experience. So, I mean, you look at this draft for the Avalanche, and you kind of want a guy that, much like the Nuggets, is going to fit into his role correctly and really build in with the team. Somebody that's okay with being on the fourth line and really fitting into his role and impacting this team to help them win another championship. Now, hockey's not my forte, so I don't really know what kind of guys are going to be available around there, if I'm being honest. But it's got to be a guy that's willing to form into this system and ready to win a championship right away.
Sure thing. Jason, what are your thoughts?
My biggest actually concern is Gabriel Landeskog. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. He's a captain. He's a key piece to this Avs team. Who's going to be a replacement? What's a backup plan? And that will be what I'll be looking for. And I don't know too much about hockey or any players out there, so no names really come to mind for their backup for that, or possibly a rookie out there. But that would be my concern.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's just stick on that subject here. Obviously, we know Landy, you know, he may end up just being done with hockey at this point.
Which is a bummer.
It is hugely unfortunate, but with the type of knee injury he has, it just may get to the point where he may not be able to skate at an NHL level
anymore. We see a guy in the NBA like Lonzo Ball going through the same exact thing.
Yes.
Who's been out year after year after year because they just can't figure out what's going on with his knee, and they figure out they have to reconstruct the whole thing. I don't really know how this ends up for people after that. I mean, especially in hockey, I feel like there's a ton of wear and tear on your knees and your legs. The amount you're getting hit, plus, I mean, skating is definitely tough on your legs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it won't be his choice if he doesn't come back. It'll be the choice of you actually can't come back.
Right. And go ahead.
Well, since he is out, another question I have, first of all, I can replace him, but the second question is, can Nathan MacKinnon fill in that role as captain?
See, that was going to be my question to you guys before we hit the break here, is who do you guys think would ideally fill in to take that seat?
I think because it would have to be Nathan MacKinnon.
It would have to.
Would it be him or would it be Makar?
I think Makar's too young. I think MacKinnon's been with this team longer.
Okay.
I know Makar's making a great name for himself, but MacKinnon has a name for himself that he's top five in the NHL. Sure, you can say that about Makar in some ways as well, but MacKinnon is a solidified superstar that's been in the league, been with some bad Avs teams, been with the best of the Avs teams. He knows what it takes to win a championship. He's gotten there, and he's able to put the team on his back the best out of anybody on the Avalanche, and I think he can take that role the best.
Now, my props towards Makar is his position. Mm-hmm. I mean, him and his position as defense, he can see almost everything. And if he skates backward really fast, can see everything. So he can say, hey, guys, he can call out things and point out things. So I don't know. As a coaching standpoint, I think I kind of would like Kel Makar, but I feel like Nathan MacKinnon just kind of has to be the guy.
Understandable. When we get back, we're going to take a little bit of a dive here into the Avalanche schedule. And like Jack was mentioning earlier, the unanimous vote for MVP that wasn't unanimous. We'll be right back here on the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Totally awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Dirty young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
Trying to make plans for this weekend?
I can't wait to see what he brings me.
Don't know what to do to kill time?
Pretty sure you just answered your own question.
Tune in every Wednesday. From 3 until 4.
What you talking about?
Sports. Must-see events and many more. Only on GoMileHigh.com.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at ColoradoMediaSchool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
This is Ducello Asserts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. If you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
This is the best damn sports show, period. Ian McClintock.
Part of me is torn at this because I want to believe Bruce Brown when he said, I want to stay, money isn't everything. And, you know, we were talking about it a little bit yesterday. Money can't be everything when you know eventually the rings matter in the long run.
Jack Jones.
And even when you're drunk, like, you can still hold yourself back enough in front of a 800,000 people crowd not to say something like that if you really, really are like, oh, no, I'm not coming back here. Like, you don't say something like that if you're not thinking about coming back.
Estelle Ambrose.
I feel like that's the difference between like what the Nuggets can offer versus any other team is the Nuggets, it kind of has to be a one in one because they just can't offer that same amount of money. But if he goes to a team that has that cap space and that can offer him more money, it could probably also over like a longer period of time. I feel like he's going to get something that's like slightly less than AG's current contract because AG's, I think, making 21 a year.
All I gotta say is that the winners of the new sweaters in the NHL for 2023-2024 is going to the Anaheim, once again, Mighty Ducks, because we just got a little bit of a look. The solid purple, bringing back the teal at the bottom.
I love it.
And then just bringing back the old school Mighty Duck mask there in the middle. It's a classic look. But another interesting look is the Avalanche's schedule for this upcoming season. I don't know if you guys have been able to really take a deep dive into it, but if you notice, there seems to be a lot of 5-6-game road trips followed by 5-6-game home trips. And then we're on the road for a while, and then we're back home for a while. But, I mean, just kind of going through it all, I think it's interesting because I know our first home, or the Avalanche's first home game, not ours, the Avalanche's. I could never play hockey a day in my life. I'm not that good, let alone on anything except my own 2 feet. But we start on the road October 11th, and then the Avalanche's first home game is October 19th against the newly minted number one overall pick, Connor Bedard. So I don't know. Are you guys noticing any trends that you guys like with the Avalanche's schedule?
Well, I do want to point out one thing that was talked about a lot last year.
Sure.
It's going a little away from your point, but I do want to talk about that first game against Bedard.
Yeah.
For the first part of the season, we're sitting pretty. I mean, it's pretty fine. And then you hit the point of the end of November, and here come those back-to-backs. You go on a Saturday to Monday. I guess that, or not Saturday to Monday, that wasn't the one I was looking at. Saturday, Sunday, you go from Anaheim to LA, which isn't too bad. Mm-hmm. There's one that you go from Minnesota to home, which is all right. It's an 8 p.m. In Minnesota, or 6:30 in Minnesota, then an 8 p.m. the next night, so I guess you have time.
Yeah.
But it still looks like there's still a few back-to-backs, but it looks like it kind of got swept up a little bit, but as the season goes on, it almost is like it adds more and more. And I guess we'll have to see by the end of the year. But the Avs end their season, as they did this season, with a back-to-back in their last 2 of 3 games.
Yeah, I did notice that as well. But another thing, especially with the Avalanche, a lot of the back-to-backs are it with teams that are very, very close to each other.
Very true.
As far as like your Rangers and Devils when they have their East Coast trip. The one that I'm kind of worried about is April, mid-April or beginning of April at Minnesota, the next night at Edmonton.
Yeah, that one's tough.
That one is a little bit tough. So, but overall, I don't really see any parts of the schedule that really scare Avalanche
the only,
fans.
The only part of that April is that you go back to back, then you have a couple days off and go to Edmonton and play, mm-hmm. and then Sunday, Tuesday, you're fine. You have a lot of time off, and then another back-to-back to end the year. So it's like two in a row, but I think it's fine. I think there seemed to be a lot more last season, so I like that maybe they took a look at that and tried to fix that.
Yeah.
But anyways, going back to what you were just talking about a second ago, the Avalanche's first home game is at home, and us as Avalanche fans, we get to see Connor Bedard for the first time play against Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen. I am extremely excited for that matchup, mm-hmm. just because it's like Bedard is the next god of the league, but he's got to come up and play against one of the toughest, maybe the toughest core of players in the NHL. So it'll be interesting to see how Bedard acts in a situation like that, especially because we know Ball Arena is going to be sold out for that game. It's the first home game of the year. You know it'll be sold out. How will he do in front of a crowd like that? How will he do against stars like that? And if he ends up showing out in that game, that type of game, it says a lot about who Bedard is.
I agree. Jason, did you see any trends that you were liking or maybe disliking?
Maybe you guys can answer this. The Avalanche are projected to win the Stanley Cup next year, right? If Corin and the Vegas and all them.
Yeah. They're tied with Vegas, right?
I don't know too much about hockey, but why is it that we only have one primetime game during the whole entire schedule?
One primetime?
It says TNT for TV for the opening night, and I don't see TNT again for the rest of the schedule.
So with that, I think that's as far as I think they're waiting on the draft. They're waiting on free agency, kind of to see where teams lay out.
That'll change.
Yeah, I think that would have to change.
The only reason that the first one is planned is because it's the first day of NHL. Yeah, I think that
makes sense.
I just don't think they've scheduled all the mainstream broadcast games just yet. But I think if you check around August, September time, there would be more TNTs up there, or ESPNs up there.
Do you guys
there,
know on top of your hands what's the max a team can get for primetime for NHL?
I don't know if there's necessarily a limit, but it always seems to be right about 10 to 15 because they do like spreading the wealth. Obviously, they do still like giving your players, like your Crosbys, your Ovechkins. I mean, obviously, Vegas is going to get some more airtime.
Even
Edmonton will get some more.
Florida.
Florida will get a lot now. Okay.
The Kraken like have that. Earned a couple more.
Yeah. But another cool thing that the NHL is doing this year specifically, and I know for sure it's happening once, is going to be Tuesday, October 24th. You're not going to see it on just one team schedule, but when you look at the national schedule, there are 16 games, which means all 32 games teams are playing. And so there's one game that'll start at like 4 p.m., Mountain Time. Mm-hmm. The next game starts at 4:15, then 4:30, 4:45, 5. They're doing it at 15-minute intervals.
That'll be nice.
So, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts about that?
I think it's kind of cool.
It's kind of like NFL football. I know NFL football, a bunch of games start at the same time, mm-hmm. but it gives off a vibe like that where it's like there's all different types of games you can watch all around the same time.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely going to be, I mean, hockey's always struggled to have the same popularity as other sports. And I think that could be a way they could gain a little more popularity is having all kinds of games on at the same time. So you have a lot more viewership in that one day.
Yeah. I was thinking the first thing that really came up to my mind when I read this, March Madness being spread across four channels. But they spread it out to like start at like 10 or 15 minute.
Yeah, it'll be like this game starts at 4:35 and you're like, what?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see something like that.
Well, and something else that was interesting, and I know this doesn't really have to do with the Avalanche, but on this ESPN link you sent us, it has like a ticket pricing on it.
Yeah.
And it has the lowest priced ticket available.
Sure.
And when you get to the games where Colorado's playing in Arizona.
Okay, so it's December 27th.
Yeah, well, and even November 30th before that.
Oh.
Both of them are saying tickets as low as $356, and that is the lowest price ticket you can find.
I almost feel like that's a
That
typo.
Must be a glitch, or else Arizona is trying to steal from their fans to buy an arena, and they're going to have no fans at their games if that's what the ticket pricings look like.
Yeah, I mean, they can only fit like 4,000 inside a Mullet Arena.
And you got to pay $400 for a regular season game.
Yeah, that does feel a little bit rough, but...
Well, something else I saw is that we have... I don't know if NHL does this or not, but I don't see any holiday games. No Christmas Eve, no Christmas, no New Year's Eve.
They do play on New Year's Eve, but not day.
Yeah.
So I see the 31st. And so I guess we are not doing the Winter Classic.
Yeah, no, the Winter Classic, I want to say, went to Boston again. Okay. Or because they are trying to spread that out, you know, just try to give multiple teams like last year. Well, there's the Winter Classic, and then there's also the Stadium Series, and I always seem to get those mixed up. I thought Carolina was a fantastic host of the Stadium Series last year there at Carter-Finley out there in Raleigh, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, people say that hockey doesn't belong in the South, quote-unquote, but shoot, you even go back to this last playoff run. The last two teams from the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference were all relatively considered in the South as far as Canada and the U.S. goes, with Vegas and Dallas, and then you had Florida and Carolina.
Especially Florida and Carolina. Dallas definitely too. Vegas is an iffy Southern team. I would more say 3 of 4, but still, your point is proven. Southern teams, I know there's not a team in Louisiana and Mississippi, but I mean, you never know what could happen in the future.
Would a warmer climate...
I guess a warmer climate, that would be a better way to say it, because Vegas is hot.
Yeah. Yeah, they are absolutely hot. And not going to lie, I'm a little bit hot about something else. And I know that we teased it a little bit here at the end of the first break. I'm actually going to tease it one more time here, only because I finally have gathered my thoughts about this. Being the Edmonton fan that I am, I have finally found a way to express it without us losing the show here on GoMileHigh.com. But if you ever wanted to be a pro in the media industry, you know, whether it be your own show on YouTube, an anchor on nightly news, or, you know, a producer that makes a show like this one, and sports are your passion, Colorado Media School can help you land that dream job. Classes are taught by media professionals. Like for us, it's Josh Dover and Dan Tanner from Altitude Sports. They're absolutely huge in all of our careers. And, you know, they work in the industry. So you're getting taught by a pro to be a pro. So if you're ready to chase that dream, go online, go to beonair.com, set up a tour today. We'll be right back here on the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. but I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from the sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7000.
This is Ducello at Sturz. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's 2 answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturz.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Welcome back to the best damn sports show, period.
All right, then, just let me kick a little sport flow. It's John Cena on the best damn sports show. I'm nothing but net, like Peyton from long range. I got a big unit, so I'm going for long change. And on top, I'm on pass, y'all. I throw the high heat like a Rob Dibble fastball. Beats is nice, flow's astounding. I pitch a perfect game like my name is Tom Browning. Yeah, that's right, and we keep it sparking. Sweet swing like Eric Davis or Barry Larkin. I'm a bad boy like Sally or Lambert. Your show is blessed, man. The champ done been here.
Brought to you by GoMileHigh.com.
So, Connor McDavid, as truly expected, he took home his third Hart Trophy of his career on Tuesday night. And, you know, 153 points. That's the most that we have ever seen from an NHL player in any season since the 1995-1996 season. There's 196 votes out there, which means you could get a maximum of 1,960 points. You go and look at the MVP voting, and, you know, rightfully so, Connor McDavid is very much at the top with 195 of the votes.
What it sounds like to me is that Connor McDavid, I heard this earlier, that he just got Jokic'd.
I mean, I don't know if this might actually be worse, because the one vote that was not given to him, rightfully so, was given to David Pastrnak, the best player on the best team potentially of all time as far as the regular season goes. It was not a second place vote. It was not a third place vote. It was not a fourth place vote. This writer wrote in Connor McDavid as the 5th best player in the NHL. Behind, supposedly, he had David Pastrnak 1, Jason Robertson from Dallas, Ilya Sorokin, and Matthew Tkachuk before adding Connor McDavid. Now, mind you, I know that we are not, or us that are here right now at the Best Damn Sports Show, period. I know our main hockey correspondent is doing her thing out in New Jersey, but there's enough basic knowledge to know that Connor McDavid was definitely the best player last season, right?
Well, it's just like he had one of the all-time historic seasons, and this guy really has to come in and ruin his unanimous Hart Trophy. Like, I get it, like, he was gonna win no matter what, but when you're one vote off of being unanimous, like, being a unanimous Hart Trophy or MVP winner is historic. Last time we saw a unanimous MVP was what, Steph Curry, or was it Patrick Mahomes this past year?
I think it was Steph. Let alone Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, or Lamar. It was like, we've only seen it a couple times. We don't see it all the time. And McDavid was fully, fully deserving. Like, no player was even close to his caliber of play. And the only other player that was just as close was his teammate, points-wise at least.
Yeah, and Leon Draisaitl was behind by 25 points.
And he wasn't even on this guy's list.
No.
He must have something against Edmonton as a whole. No.
So the Pro Hockey Writers Association revealed that Seth Rohrabaugh of the Tribune Review Sports in Pittsburgh is the one who made the vote. But not only that, this isn't the first time that he's done this, because a couple years ago when Austin Matthews, mm-hmm. he won his, he didn't even have him on the ballot. Or McDavid. Weird. 2 years ago.
Weird.
So this is going to lead me to one of my bigger questions here. And we've kind of, and you know, talking about Jokic, this is actually going to segue into this perfectly. This whole idea of writers who have never played have all the authority in saying who is truly the MVP or trying to get clout of being that one guy. Like your Rohrabaugh or your Mark Jackson. But how or what exactly do you guys believe needs to change in MVP voting across sports in general?
Well,
to prevent things like this from happening, because this is getting absolutely atrocious now.
I think they should do it in this way, and I've thought this for a while. There should be a player vote that has some sort of effect, and there should be a coach's poll. Both of those, because these guys are in the game. They're around the game. They're not going to... Sure, if we see a bunch of guys voting for their teammates, that's different. A guy that maybe isn't serving. Like if Giannis were to vote for Chris Middleton every year because mm-hmm. he loves Chris Middleton, maybe that's when you look and you're like, okay, maybe the player shouldn't vote. But I feel like as like you pick a group of 100 players or maybe every player gets to vote, I feel like they'd be pretty truthful about who they think deserves the MVP. They watch it on the court, field, ice every night, face to face, up close. They know who the best players are. We heard so many players come out about in the playoffs about Nikola Jokic. And the entire NHL has talked about Connor McDavid. It's all the NHL can talk about, because how can you not talk about this guy? Sure, the writers and stuff, they can still vote as well, but the three of these combined should have some sort of voting together. It's just unfair how guys like Mark Jackson and the guy that did it to McDavid, I forgot his name, but
Seth Rohrabaugh.
Yes, yeah, Seth Rohrabaugh. They can impact something like that. I get it that McDavid still won the Hart Trophy, but you took away a unanimous Hart Trophy. That is much bigger than I feel like he thinks it is. That is a all-time great accomplishment that you took away from a guy because you wanted the media attention. Like, how it just seems like we saw it in the NBA and we saw it in the NHL. We should take a look around at this around all leagues. I mean, the NFL seems to be in a pretty good spot. I think that they usually have a pretty good MVP voting, but I feel like we've even seen this in the past with MVP in the NBA, especially with Giannis getting back-to-back, could have deserved a third, they give it to Jokic. Jokic going back-to-back, could have deserved a third, they give it to Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting to see, and maybe they should take a deeper look into it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jason, what are your thoughts?
You know, something that the NFL does, which I absolutely love, and they do it every year, you know how they do the top 100, and then it's the players that vote?
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that's pretty cool, because I think it's always pretty accurate. I always feel like number one should really be, you know, MVP. But the NBA really does make it so political, and that's probably mainly the media's fault. But you know, to your point, I feel like if it's a media member, then maybe it should be someone that has played in the past, or with maybe even coaches. I'm fine.
You
with
could have like
vote.
You keep going after this, but they could have like a Hall of Fame voters that do it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Hall of Fame voters do it. But to your point, I really do think it, and to Jack Jones' point, it really should be the players, and it doesn't have to be every player in the league because they vote for their own, but you know, maybe team captains and the coaches or something.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, honestly, and even baseball, they have that problem, especially in the Hall of Fame, like you were saying, where the writers are gonna sit here and be
like, we see that in the
NFL, you know,
too.
You're one vote away from being unanimous. It's like, mm-hmm. why would you not put him on the ballot? And we've seen them get criticized for it.
The NFL they're fine with their MVP voting. They got to figure something out with the Hall of Fame.
That they do. But another thing that I want to bring up to you guys, as far as MVP voting gets brought into all this, should the postseason also be included to where it's actually every game being taken into account, since it's the full season, or should it stay just a regular season vote? Because personally, I think you have to take postseason into account.
No, that's why they have a Finals MVP, a Conn Smith Trophy. That's why they have the Western Conference Finals MVP, because there are awards for playoff accolations. The MVP award is the regular season most valuable player in every sport. They'd have to change the whole name of it. So it'd be one award at the end of the year that would always go to the championship team. And in this way, people like Jokic, the past two MVPs, he wouldn't have won those if it was based off playoffs, because his team got booted out right away. But he was the best regular season player. I disagree, and I think they should stay separate, just because there is a regular season MVP, and you fully base it off the regular season instead of it being the best player on the championship team every year gets MVP. Like, if the Miami Heat were to win this, would have beat the Nuggets,
sure,
and there was no MVP for regular season, it was just for the whole season, Jimmy Butler would have won MVP for the entire season, and he had an okay regular season.
So my caveat to that is taking the regular season stats into consideration with postseason stats. Like, who kept it going all the way? But I do see where you're coming from. Jason, where do you stand on that?
I have mixed feelings. I agree with Jack that, yes, that would be kind of weird towards the end, because you see, like, Nikola Jokic, and obviously, yes, he's obviously the MVP because of what we saw him in the postseason. But then I thought it would be kind of cool at the same time, how cool it would be then in the summer, we now talk about the MVP of the NBA season, and then they all can actually vote on it at that point, because then they take everything into account.
So maybe having, like, three different awards?
Possibly. But, you know, the MVP vote is just – it's kind of like a – I forgot who said it in the Nuggets team, but like, it's just a pointless award.
Fair enough. Way. Yeah, I mean, all that really matters is that big ring that we've got sitting on the fingers of the Denver Nuggets right now.
I mean, where's Joel Embiid? It was his life or death.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's ring season out here in Denver. But coming up here on the other side, our man Jack Jones got a tour of Empower Field at Mile High. He's going to give us a little bit of insight of what the Broncos fans should expect, and how big is that screen really in person. We'll be right back here on the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place, because at GoMileHigh.com we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Tom's awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Hurry, young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Trying to make plans for this weekend?
I can't wait to see what he brings me.
Don't know what to do to kill time?
Pretty sure you just answered your own question.
Tune in every Wednesday. From 3 until 4.
What you talking about?
Sports. Must-see events and many more. Only on GoMileHigh.com.
This is Ducello at Sturts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers, because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to just get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
You're listening to the best damn sports show, period.
It's over! They did it! They did it! The job is done!
Live from the Go Mile High Studios.
An hour 15 minutes to go. You are tuned in to the best damn sports show, period, again with Jason and Jack. Jack running my ones and twos, but I know that he was also running around in Power Field at Mile High and getting a really nice look at some of these parts of these $100 million dollar renovations today with one of the camps that he's a counselor at. Jack, I mean, I'm going to leave it to you here. You got to see a little bit of some of these upgrades in person. What do Broncos fans get to see this year that they maybe necessarily didn't get to last season with all these upgrades?
So, first of all, the big upgrade that everybody's talking about, the scoreboard. The Broncos have upgraded their scoreboard by, like, I don't even know what it was, 30 feet taller, which makes it officially now the fourth largest scoreboard in the NFL. Only behind, like, SoFi, Atlanta.
And Dallas.
Dallas, and then there was one more that was bigger than theirs. It's one of the newer stadiums. But they are now fourth in the entire National Football League in screen size, and man, it's like a different view in the Broncos stadium. Like, you could see over the scoreboard before. You can't see anything behind the scoreboard anymore. It takes up that entire gap that used to be there. Like, it used to be a little bit taller than the retired jerseys there to the left.
Yeah.
The retired jersey signs are mini compared to this screen. Really? I wish I could, like, we had a live stream and I could put up a picture that I took, but man, it's like you can't miss it. You absolutely can't miss it. And along with that, the two little scoreboards as well also got upgraded. I think they're the same size, but the screen takes up the entire corner now. So all three big screens in the stadium have been enlarged by a huge margin. These guys are seeing the screen right now. It's ridiculous. Like, I would love to watch a movie on that screen or, like, play Mario Kart with my friends on that screen, because it is probably one of the largest screens I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't even know how all the technicalities work in that. And along with that, another big thing that they were upgrading were the suites. So we went in right on the second level, and the entire hallway is getting redone. Every single fan suite is getting redone. And I learned a couple cool things about the suites. So when you purchase a suite, you purchase it for 5-year minimum. And it's $400,000.
Oh my gosh.
But during those 5 years, you can trick out your room however you want. You can put up decorations. Like, people had signed jerseys and pictures on the wall. There's a kitchen area. There's refrigerators. There's inside and outdoor seating. So you can sit inside the suite, but you can also sit outside right in front of the suite. And if you buy it, you own it for 5 years, and it's like your own room. Nobody can go in there that you don't want them to go in. Like, you literally own real estate in Empowered Field, which I thought was extreme. I mean, I don't live that lavishly, but it was nice to feel like I lived that lavishly for like 5 minutes.
Sure.
Oh my God. It was seriously cool. Like, the view from that room is perfection. I mean, it's right above the lower level, right below the club level, and you can see everything. on the field. It is incredible. And then they also have something that they had. It's not a new upgrade, but something that I thought was cool is their media room. And a couple rules I learned about the media room. So if you're a media member, it's the longest room, the biggest room in Empowered. It goes from about, I would say, 300 to 320.
Oh, wow.
So it's like 20 sections of seats. Yeah. Is this one long room with two rows, and you have a table in front of you. Now, if you're in the media room during the game, you are not allowed to talk to anybody. You have to be completely quiet doing your work. People don't chat about the game. You're not allowed to chat about the game. There's two screens on. You have a pretty good view of the field. And there's also an entire like restaurant behind it, or like kitchen area, so that these guys don't have to go down to the concourse to get food and instead can go back, grab their cheeseburger, and go sit back down. But the most interesting part of it was for sure no talking at all. You're not allowed to speak to another person during the game. You're not allowed to chat during the game because you're supposed to be working. It's like a test during school. You're sitting there silently. Don't talk, don't cheat. You know, that's kind of what the vibe that they were giving out. That's what it felt like. But going down on the field, one of the coolest things. They didn't have the field out right now because they're getting ready for some T-Swift to come and play here in Denver. So they had all these like plastic boards down because they have concerts all summer. So I think it's either that the field is underneath it or they just take the field completely out on the off season, put down these like plastic little, it's like a big puzzle thing that you put down a bunch of plastic little squares.
Sure.
And we got to go out and run on the field, have a good time. But the view of the scoreboard, I mean, if you couldn't see the scoreboard before, man, you're not going to have a problem seeing the scoreboard this year. It is so cool. And I know I'm fantasizing about this scoreboard, but man, I've never seen a screen like that in my entire life. But it was awesome. I had never been on the field either. So we all got to run out like we were the players in the through the tunnel, through the visitors tunnel.
Oh,
because we got to see the visiting locker room, which is just horrible. I feel bad for whoever comes in and is the visiting team against the Broncos because it's the most bland room of all time. It's got a big NFL logo carpeted on the ground. And the Broncos used to, what they were telling us is the Broncos used to have like this weird pattern of black and white on the ground to mess with players' heads. But the NFL demanded they took it out and put an NFL logo. But dude, it looks like a high school locker room. I mean, it's just, it stinks. It's bland. It's beaten up. And I would not, I'm assuming a lot of opposing locker rooms look like that. But the best part about it, there's like five warnings of altitude sickness coming out of that locker room. I took a couple pictures, like altitude sickness is a real thing. Caution, altitude, a whole paragraph writing about how altitude sickness is a thing and you need to be careful. It's like so intimidating coming out of that locker room, reading all these signs like warning altitude sickness, because it's a real thing, especially in football. So it was definitely super educating. I think I got a lot more out of it myself rather than the kids we came with. All they really cared about was running on the field, but that was fine. I got a lot out of it, and the tour guide was amazing. So I had a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I mean, shoot, if that doesn't get you excited to go out and try to get to a game, I don't know what will. But it also seems like a lot of people are excited to finally see what the team looks like run by Sean Payton.
Oh, my God.
And these training camp tickets that were free, but you had to wait until 10 a.m. today to touch one, and they limit to 3,000 a day. They're gone.
I believe
for
it.
The entire training camp.
Oh, like, yeah.
I just wanted to get to one day. Good luck. I'm sure somebody's going to sell it, you know, probably as a third party member.
Well, they're going to profit off of it too.
Oh, yeah. They're going to try to. But I mean, with it being sold out, and again, still a lot of question marks, a whole lot of new, is it too much hype?
Well,
to see them go this quickly.
See, here's the thing. I don't even think last season they had a lot more fans at training camp.
Sure.
But I remember like the week up until training camp, I was looking at buying tickets to go, and they were like $10-$20. I mean, a lot of people were there, but this is like, I feel like Bronco fans, not really me, but a lot of Bronco fans almost have higher expectations than last season after having high expectations. And myself, I can't trust it. I really can't. But I understand. You have Russell Wilson last year, and now this year you have Russell Wilson, a healthy team, and Sean Payton. Who doesn't want to see that on the field? None of this surprises me. I don't think it's too much hype because I really think that Sean Payton runs a tight ship and is going to get that out of their head. But it definitely makes me nervous that we're going down the same path as last year, or us as Broncos fans are going down the same path as last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Jason, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a good thing. You know, it's he's instantly coming in and he's organizing. He's making things happen. He's changing things up. He's not being a Hackett and being lazy and being kosher about things. He's getting things done. So I'm very excited. As far as the practice and limiting the seats, you know, he has a vision. And his vision last time, he won a Super Bowl. So I'm hoping that his newer vision can be the same for us.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think this is a very big culture change. I think it's very much Sean Payton taking the reins and saying, hey, this is no longer, you know, media frenzy. This is, you get to talk
this
to us
practice.
When I say.
Wow. This is my.
You get a complimentary 12-ounce bottle of Dasani water.
Ooh,
this Sean Payton's basically come in and said, this is my team. This is my practice. Everything we're doing is me.
Yes.
It's no longer Russell Wilson. It's no longer PS2. It's no longer Justin Simmons. It's me. Put this all on me. He's almost protecting them from the media this year. The thing I worry about is if the Broncos don't improve, it's going to be much worse than last season. Much, much worse.
I agree. And speaking of that, before we get to the halftime break here on the Best Damn Sports Show, period, with, you know, having these expectations coming up, how important does this mean for these free agent moves that got brought in with your Ben Powers, your McGlinchey, your Allen, your Clark? How important are they going to be, especially now coming into training camp?
Extremely important. These are the guys that are supposed to fix the empty holes in our roster. Last season, it was like, oh, Broncos get a quarterback, they're fixed. We figured out that wasn't fully the problem. These are the guys that are supposed to come in and help the Broncos succeed in those last missing spots to truly become, let's say, a wild card team, because I don't think they're going to win the division anytime soon. But they have a big role. They got a lot on their shoulders. We'll see how they react.
Jason, your quick thoughts on it?
You know, I'm hoping that we get some good, important people. I think our roster is pretty well set, to be honest with you. I mean, I have confidence in it as it is. It doesn't hurt to get these big guys like Clark, but do we really need Clark?
I mean, it doesn't hurt to have an embarrassment of riches. So
it's true. I mean, if Javonte Williams is healthy, then I think we might be set.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, if everybody's healthy, it's full team go. But what else is now full team go? The NBA. And we're not going to have a labor lockout. We're going to dive into some more of the details with this new CBA coming up on the other side of halftime. This is the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in